Hey, everybody. Welcome to Best Show Bests, the best of the best show. And you can find out more about the best show over at thebestshow.net. It airs live every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. And if you're new to the program, this show, these are little bite-sized bits and greatest hits type samples of what we do every week. So if you like this, maybe you check out the full show. And if you want to support The Best Show, we have a Patreon set up over at patreon.com/thebestshow. That is how you support the program. It is listener-sponsored now, and you give what you can, and we appreciate it. And there are prizes and benefits at all different levels of giving. So again, go to patreon.com/thebestshow and support the show. And now please, without further ado, check out this episode of Best Show Bests. Is Dave here?
Yeah.
Well, send him on in, guys. Don't hog him to yourselves. Don't hog him, guys.
Talking panel.
No, that's studio. Oh, no, there's Dave. Hello. Okay. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Nice to see you again.
It's good to see you. Welcome.
Pleasure.
Yes.
I love this whole...
Thank you.
Bunker.
Yeah. But just remember, we keep it clean here just like you do on WFMU.
I'm not going to... I don't require profanity.
I know you don't. You run a tight ship over there.
I will take advantage of it.
I was a part of it.
If it's presented to me.
Yeah, exactly.
I was talking about this, not to... thank you.
No problem.
But in the UK, was I talking about this last night? I was on this one station. They were like, "Don't before you go on." They're like, "Just real quick, don't use the C word more than once." Like
more than once, you know? So you just get one.
Well, it was like, "Well, I don't need the one, but yeah, I'll take it." Yeah. But they're like, "You can say the F and the S and whatever." Yeah. But anyway, laxer policies over there.
Could you give yours to someone else and they get two?
Yeah, or save up like over appearance. Well, I have like five C words saved up.
You come back, you're 80 years old. You're like, I have 35 banked.
But then I thought it was like standard that you could say all that stuff on the radio. And then I was on one of the BBC stations and I was like, "Oh, just real quick, so no more than one C word, and I can say whatever else, right?"
Yeah.
And they were like, "No, you can't say any of those things."
Yeah. Are you sure you were on the radio?
It's hard to say. It seemed like it.
Now, your thing translates overseas. I could see that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it does.
For people who don't know this guy.
Which is, to be fair, most people.
No, most people... People in this world, they know who you are.
In this world, but this is a savvy world.
You're a stand-up.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you know, I can walk down the street. Mm-hmm. I came from Journal Square to this location unfettered.
Unfettered. And then you got here and you were fettered.
Fettered from the second I hit the buzzer.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Offered snacks.
Yeah, we got snacks out there. You offered me snacks, I'm offering you snacks.
I brought cookies in honor of Danny D, just like a symbolic.
Who's that?
Dan. You know him as Dan.
I just know that would, if I didn't know who he was. What if I truly...
Well, I always wonder...
I don't remember who that is.
I'm sure this is a conversation you've had, but I always wonder, like, because his name obviously is in tribute to your wife.
Terry T.
Does that... frighten you that you're like he's just gonna be outside
your
driveway or something.
Yeah. Like, that part, I don't think he's gonna be outside, but there's just a low level of fear with him.
Yeah, like taking a detour that requires him to drive by your home to get somewhere nowhere near your home.
Yeah, I'm gonna not think about that.
I'm gonna
scrub that.
Yeah, that's for the best.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
We tease you, Dan.
We kid out of love.
Yeah. And just wait till the one day he shows up in his devil's uniform, right? His to your show on Monday nights. Now your show on Monday. So for people, Dave is a stand-up. Dave is a musician. Your band Valley Lodge, right? Mm-hmm.
We have a hot sound.
Yeah, and you've played with you come out of Cleveland.
Yes.
So you've got roots in the actual Cleveland rock world, which is one of the hottest rock worlds that's ever existed.
Yeah. I used to be in Cobra Verde, if mm-hmm. people know that band. I'm sure people do.
Yeah.
I had a more obscure band called Sons of Elvis, mm-hmm. which a horrible band name. But we were just young kids, scrappy youths.
Is there a point when you're just like, hey guys, I'm not sure about this band name?
Yeah, after the second practice.
You were just like...
We didn't think that we would leave. We were literally practicing in the church basement of mm-hmm. the school that we went to, mm-hmm. Grade school. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know we'd be catapulted.
Yeah.
We didn't know we'd be caught up in the 90s alternative net,
sure.
the feeding frenzy.
Yes, one of the... most frustrating periods of anything ever.
Yeah.
90s independent music.
Yeah.
Because it was right before everybody was okay with making money. It's the final time when it wasn't, when everybody was just like nobody talks about selling out anymore. Like, never, ever. Right? Do you ever hear anybody go, you're a sellout? It's like,
no.
They'll be like, you're selling your thing out. How do you do it? Can you tell
me? That's like a notion that doesn't exist. I mean, that's the whole idea now is to... There is no selling out, but everyone wants to sell everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But nobody's... What do you do when nobody's buying it, right?
Well, yeah. Exactly. You gotta, I'm an artist. That's what I tell myself.
Yeah. Well, it's true. You are an artist. At Mr. Dave Hill. What if I was like, at Mr. Dave Hill, thanks for coming by. Like, I was on your show for 3 hours, and I'm just like, Dave, thanks for swinging by. It's like
I would
8-minute appearance.
Cherish every moment.
Well,
it would be,
it's like one of those, yeah, like, my thing is more like a news, it's like a Byron Allen type, hey, thanks for coming by. Now we have coming up the Hollywood update.
I probably... walk back to the PATH train and like be texting a friend like, did you hear? I think it went pretty well, but I'm not sure.
I think it went well. It was 6 minutes long.
It went so fast, but I think it went well.
I've never heard him have anybody on that little.
It was, but
by like
it
an
was
hour.
A strong, yeah. strong 6 minutes.
Yeah,
guns blazing. By the way, you could if you feel like it, you need to give me the. Heave
no,
ho.
Of course not. No,
I would,
No.
No one hates Dave Hill more than Dave Hill,
well,
so I would understand.
It has to be like that.
That goes back to the artist thing. And more specifically, the Cleveland thing.
Yeah. Is that because Ohio generally has a second-class attitude, the people.
Yeah. Like, right? I always use this as an example, but sometimes, I think when I was in Cobra Verde still, we opened for the Dictators, mm-hmm. and what's his name? Wild Dick Manitoba?
Yeah.
Handsome Dick. Yeah. Dick Manitoba comes out in a Yankees jersey, and he's like kind of thrusting the logo at the crowd, like, we're from New York, hey.
Yeah.
And like kind of like, hey, we're mm-hmm. better than you. And mm-hmm. everyone in the crowd's like, yeah, of course. Like, there's no question. it didn't seem to be a baseball thing he was... It wasn't like the Yankees are better than Indians.
Yeah.
It was like our city is better. And everyone in the crowd's like, yeah, what? We know. Just play the song.
Well, first of all, I don't exactly remember him suiting up for the Yankees at any point. I don't remember. Remember when I...
Well, this, not to... I don't mean to drag Danny D back into this, but I do feel strongly that no grown man should wear the jersey of a sports team mm-hmm. outside of his own home.
Okay, so...
Own home, free-for-all.
So within the walls of your house...
Yeah.
It's okay.
Wear whatever you want, yeah.
Yeah, but like to walk around with a thing that says...
Like a a grown man wearing a jersey with the name of another grown man on the back. Uh-huh. As a kid, that always seemed crazy to me. Like, even when I was of an age where I worshipped athletes, you know, that 6 months of my life or whatever, I thought it was strange that anyone would wear someone else's name on their back. Like, have some dignity, you know? Mm-hmm. Don't... Okay. I don't know. Yeah. This is my hang-up.
It's all our hang-up. Okay, all right. I've been told there's a... look, I'm here to give you a special night, Dave Hill.
This is like a make-a-wish thing.
No, you're not dying now. You're truly alive. And the first thing I want to do
I have
you...
a limonada, which I appreciate. I didn't mean to treat myself so much, but...
go crazy with that. On the phones right now. Sir?
Hello?
Is this my dad?
No.
Hello?
It's Dave Windsor.
What's that goddamn noise?
No!
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's Dave Windsor from Monster Magnet. Hey, Dave.
Oh.
Hey, Tom. What's up?
Awesome.
How are you?
Hey, Dave Hill.
Hey, I'm a huge fan. I don't know if, Tom, if you heard, but I played Twin Earth on the show last night.
Oh, yeah. I heard it when I came in the studio.
Well, you're...
awesome.
Now, I have nothing to say, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I love your band. I've from Ground Floor.
Amazing. That's a long way down.
No, I mean...
My Ground Floor is a long way down now. I remember the Sons of Elvis. I remember hearing about you guys when I was touring, and you were talking about the fat 90s before.
Yeah. We had a van.
Yeah. I mean, it was like Vans R Us with a lot of money back then.
Yeah, we
it was
had...
a really whole different world.
We got... our label bought us... a van and road cases, and we were like, well, mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Next Zeppelin.
You did it.
Here we come.
It's just a matter of playing out the string, because it's a matter of just, it's all downhill.
Now the label actually, they want your van. You know what I mean? they want your van.
Yeah.
Now, Dave.
T-shirt sales and they own your car.
Dave, what's the biggest bus you ever had?
It was multiple buses.
Multiple buses.
Yeah, we had two of them. I guess I could have had three, but then we didn't adapt well to the big rock thing, so people got lonely. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, we all get our own bus. But then it was like, well, what do you do on the, what do you do on the bus when the girls are gone and stuff? Like, where's my buddy? So, but we had two buses, and we had them like what they call in the business wrapped. With the logo, giant fire, and a giant bull god and stuff. And it was the American dream. You had to go. I had to go that far. And it was insane.
And what years are we talking about?
This was like 2000, 2001, right before I just took a break because things got nuts.
Yeah. That was the... But you know what? I got to say, your most recent album... is as good as anything you've ever done with Monster Magnet.
You beat me to it. That's exactly what
thanks, dude.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I just try to be, you gotta be true to it. You gotta, when the going gets weird, the weird get pro, like Hunter S. Thompson said.
Yeah.
It's like, I ain't getting any younger, so I feel weird and squirrely and old, and that's the kind of music I make now. And it seems to work because nobody's called me on it. I just keep going.
Can I tell the first time I saw Monster Magnet story?
Yeah.
It was at the Cleveland Odeon. I don't know. You were playing with Korn. Let me be clear. I was there seeing you, and I did not watch Korn.
Oh, that was a brutal tour.
No offense to Korn, except the obvious offense.
Oh, I have plenty of offense.
But,
I have plenty of heaps of it.
Of offense from that tour?
Yes, I have. How much offense do you want? Well, I can sell it by the pound when it comes to this.
They're the elder statesmen of horrible music now.
That's a bad time. Bad time. It bode ill for the future.
Mm-hmm. But
remember when they came through? It was like, I don't think things are going to get better. And they didn't.
I remember around that time, someone was like, watch, this kind of music's going to catch on. And I was like, no way.
Yeah.
No one, the Americans don't have that bad a taste.
Yeah.
And, well, they do. They have much worse taste, even. But I remember at that show, and I'm sure you did this many times, but you Dave, you gave your guitar to the audience, and they passed it around the whole floor, and then you kind of summoned it back. And I was watching this, and I was like, I would be at some point, I'd be freaking out because there's literally hundreds of people pawing at and tearing apart his Strat, I think it was.
Yeah.
And you just like summoned it back and remained like totally cool and calm for this one, and it went over on for like 20 minutes probably.
They would it was a big giant psych, like a psych thing. I was just like, do that. And I really just to see, just to prove that people would actually could actually be cool enough to do it, and they did it. I mean, 9 times out of 10 they'd give it back. As long as you don't scream at people, they're nice.
Because then,
you know, and conversely, Korn would scream at people, and then everybody in some horrible, like, you know, lip pierced freak out at the end, you know, kill each other.
Oh, so you have when you, because Dave, you come up, Dave Windorf, you come up, and you're coming from a very, I don't want to say traditional, but you're coming up from, you're not just some metal doofus.
No, I was a grown man. I was like, you know, I was like a 32-year-old man who had already like spent his, when I was a kid, the first concert I ever saw was Slade, featuring guitarist Dave Hill, by the way.
I love Slade. I was just talking, you must know Monty Connor, right?
Why do I know that
Not
name?
Key to the story. But anyway, I thought you might. I think he founded Roadrunner, but someone told me.
Yes, yeah, that guy. I know that guy.
Someone told me that he was, because I claim that I'm the foremost Slade fan in North America, and then someone was like, no, Monty Connor is, and I finally met him, and I think he might be the foremost. But anyway, it's rare that you get to talk Slade with anybody.
No, I mean, I think a lot of people have blotted out memory. They don't, because look at those guys and listen to them. It's like, that really happened.
That's the other. I played Raining in My Champagne, and then I played Twin Earth last night.
Dude. See? Well, talk about, I mean, punk rock. It's like, it doesn't get any more punk rock than that. Like, chew on that, man. You know?
Yeah.
Have some weird gnomish red-haired guy in a top hat and some, like, like prematurely bald guy with long, straight hair going, nah! I mean, that literally, it's like beyond words.
Yeah.
And that just shaped you forever.
Yeah, it was that. It was psychedelic rock, and psychedelic prog, Hawkwind, Black Sabbath, it was all early 70s, and then the switch into glam would all happen at the same time. And then by the time I was old enough to actually do it, I was at CBGB's with the Ramones, and it all seemed kind of the same thing. It all had, you know, there was more money involved here on one thing, but it was all kind of rock, and it was definitely a traditional, more of a traditional way of doing things than the new metal scene, which was really, really like a shilled. Like when the first hard rock things I've ever seen shilled like a bubblegum machine by big record companies. You know, they shilled that like they would shill the Monkees in 68. So, and all the kids, they thought it was, you know, cutting edge and blah, blah, blah. I didn't realize they were just buying a big load of, you know, prepackaged crap.
Yeah.
But anybody who'd been around knew it was like, well, this is like, I guess it's something.
And also, look, first of all, the Monkees had top-notch people writing songs for them, and the word was out that the Monkees was a prefabricated thing from the get-go.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It was out there.
But Korn is going around acting like they're legit.
That was such a weird time, man. It was just like right pre-Dig. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when analog had gone, the whole analog world has gone about as far as it could go.
Yeah.
I mean, they had tiny little fax machines and everything was about to go crazy. And obviously kids didn't have the patience for anything else. You know, they didn't have the patience to be challenged by their entertainment. You know, it was just give me what I want. Well, what do you want? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Give more, you know?
Yeah.
And, so that era of being cool and exploring things and taking your time to figure out what's cool was over, and everything was getting chopped up into niches and like just doled out with giant spoons of money.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things. I remember it was that and DJ culture that, you know, was starting to get shoved on every, not shoved, but actually just offered up and eaten up fine. Mm-hmm. It just didn't leave any time for the old folks or the people that like to think about stuff, and indie people too, indie snobs and stuff. They all didn't know what to do. Everybody was kind of like, all right, this is the way it's going to be. And it's like, yeah, we're bypassing all you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Marilyn Manson went down in that crush.
Yeah. Everybody, when the shakeup comes, people get shook up.
It's true. I mean, you can just see guys with guitars at train stations and bus stations waiting to go home. And, you know, and like the new world is here. The new kid is here. And he's going, my father touched my butthole. That's my song. You know, it's a child. Remember child abuse rock?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a thing.
Papa Roach.
Papa Roach.
Yeah, and Papa Roach. I had a very long story about my encounter with Papa Roach. I hung out with
them.
That's
a sentence you don't hear a lot.
Yeah, it was a thing where it was. I'm not going to tell the whole story because there won't be any show left by the time it's done. But I was writing for a basketball magazine at that point, and they asked me, "Hey, would you like to go to this event over at Chelsea Piers? The guys from Papa Roach are going to play four contest winners who won this Jim Beam contest, and they're going to play full court basketball against Papa Roach, and each team will be assisted by each team had one member of the Harlem Globetrotters on it.
That's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
And then Papa Roach watching these four out of shape contest winners play the four out of shape guys from Papa Roach, and then also, two guys on the Harlem Globetrotters just totally pulling their punches now. They could have wrapped the game up in like 2 minutes.
You can imagine the discussion with the Harlem Globetrotters? Like, what the fuck is this? Oh, excuse me. Yeah. What is this stuff? You
know? Yeah, they're just
we gonna play with these guys?
Yeah, they're wondering what. Yeah, so yeah. Thanks for catching yourself on that, Chase.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Not as good as a win, is it?
Yeah. So, Dave Windorf.
Yes, him.
You did the recontextualizing album of Last Patrol.
Yeah, I went on like a mad ringer and started like redoing stuff to suit the new Monster Magnet sound, basically. Mm-hmm. It was really fun.
And
came up with new songs out of it and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy because I went to the studio once. I watched Dave work on the Last Patrol album.
Oh, wow.
It was the craziest thing I ever saw in my life. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, how he was doing the things he was doing. It was like a one-man Hawkwind.
I'm just jealous.
Well, not one man. It was you and
Phil.
You and Phil was there.
I watched some video where just even the amp setup, it gave me a condition.
Yeah.
Oh, you should come on with us sometime because it's like you're a fantastic guitarist, dude.
How do you know that?
Because I got the YouTube.
Oh, man.
And
That's high praise.
It's really, really good. I mean, you got the surf thing down. That's a hard thing to get. People don't get that. And that's a lost art. That's going to be like jazz in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where it's like hard rock and surf and all that's going to be guitaring. It's going to be such a tiny praised thing that will stand in some weird club in some foreign city, and people will pay like $200 to sit at a table to watch us go, and this is a Fender Twin. Remember these things? We'll roll it out and dust off the cobwebs.
It seems like people don't, like, it's not cool to be good at the guitar. Like, the young kids, I go to Guitar Center, I'm like, just get out of here, go practice, come back later.
Yeah.
No, it's not cool. Nuance is, like, dead. You know, there's no time for nuance. The whole thing is now is that there is no time to shill yourself and be good at what you do. You either choose one. You either be good or you shill.
Yeah.
Because nobody cares. Nobody looks that deep. They don't really care if you're that good.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess someday they will, but right now the whole thing is just to be out there and be alive and prove you're alive. A lot of talking, man. I mean, talk has always been cheap, but it's never been cheaper than 2015.
That's
never.
Dave, you always, you know what the thing is? You're singing your songs all about, like, the way, because you grow up, you're listening to like Hawkwind sing about just like space apocalypse and things like that.
Yeah.
But now you're doing real apocalypse stuff.
Yeah, who needs, I mean, who needs, you know, who needs the fake apocalypse, you know? We got that in movies. You can go see the Avengers or any superhero movie or any, you know, fantastic blow-em-up movie and all that stuff. And we've had them for a while, but now they're bigger than ever. Fantasy is an indulgence. I just, you don't, it's like, it's not going to mean anything. It doesn't mean anything to me now. Mm-hmm. I wish I could have a fantasy that could take me out of the adventure of actual life, but... Man, I mean, now, this time period is the most insane time ever, but I don't hear it in the music at all. Mm-hmm. That's a weird, like, at least in the 60s and the 70s, it was reflected some way in the music. Mm-hmm. Now, nobody, especially top of the charts, nobody's singing about what it feels like to live now. It's kind of bugging me out. I mean, mm-hmm. that's all I do.
Sing you
know, I mean, I'm not trying to be, you know...
And who you got to listen to?
About it, but the same thing is like, how can you live in the early 21st century and not realize that things are like crazy and odd and funny and weird and not think about it?
Mm-hmm. You know what you should do, Dave? Go to band. Do you ever go to Bandcamp and check stuff out?
Oh, yeah. I go to Bandcamp all the time.
Go to apmike.bandcamp.com. APMike has music up there. I'm telling you, this guy. Dave, this guy is like, he's like Leonard Cohen in this.
It is like Leonard Cohen. I heard the thing that last summer, what was the thing he released last summer?
It was, what was the thing he did?
The Story of the Kid.
Yeah, Michael Perry. He did the song.
Insane.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, I mean, it's like, I don't care if he's serious or not. I don't care if that was a mistake.
Oh, no, he's serious.
But do more, because that sounds like now.
Yeah. Mike sounds really, like
it sounds like a Daniel Close. If a Daniel Close mm-hmm. illustration would sound like something, uh-huh. that's what it sounds like.
He's, you know, I'm so glad you said that. But now I'm never going to hear the end of it from this guy. He's going to be saying, "Well, Dave said." I'll be saying like, "Hey, Mike, can you don't just drop your can of Coors on the floor?" And he'll say like, "Well, you heard what Dave said." I'm like a Daniel Close. Comic.
It's Daniel Klaus. Yeah. Well, he's got to do a whole album of it, or it doesn't count. That's the way the rules go. You have to do a whole album, and then like, so he's got to sweat now. He's got to follow it up. That's the rule.
I think so, right?
Yeah.
You hear that, rule. Mike? You got to do an album.
You can't follow it up.
Collaboration.
Yes. Why don't you go get
set it up?
Yeah. Why don't you get Monster Magnet to back up AP Mike?
That's got European festivals written all over it.
Yeah,
I can bring him down to
like Hostel.
Bring him to Studio 13 in Red Bank where you were.
Yeah, it'll be like you hear that, Mike? You'll be down in Red Bank recording with Dave and Phil. But you got to pay. You can't just expect these guys to. These guys aren't like that other dude you're taking for a ride with. All Mike's got this guy he takes for a ride, Jesse. He's taking him for a ride. Jesse's like. I think Mike's promising him things he's not delivering on.
But what, a cut of what?
Exactly.
A cut of the stream?
Yeah, 40%
is cut of sound. I'll get a cut of Apple Music.
Yeah.
Here's your half a cent.
Yeah, he's gonna cut him in on all the Spotify money that they get.
All that Spotify. Man, I got a check from Spotify last month, $165 for over 75,000 streams.
Wow.
That's
actually one of the higher amounts I've heard.
Yeah, it's over, dude. I mean, it's like everyone who thinks you're going to make any money, get out of my way, and let serious musicians actually do music because, you know, it's rough out there.
Yeah. What's the next thing for Monster Magnet?
I'm gonna I need to go on tour because
that's
where the money is, and I have to like pay for my house and stuff, and mm-hmm. I'm building the bunker in the backyard. So more on that later. So I need to go on tour, and I get these weird things where sometimes the only offers I get are for stuff that was done, you know, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So A&M Records, which were heavily promoted in the fat 90s, mm-hmm. It's weird being in a band that's been around for a while. It's, you know, you're not prepared. It's like you're never prepared for growing up any person, any American kid isn't prepared for growing up, but growing up in a band and being around for almost 25 years,
yeah,
I have to look at these things and like, well, we'd love, you know, they're re-releasing, not has anything to do with me, but they're re-releasing all the A&M records, which mm-hmm. were heavily promoted by giant record companies in the 90s, mm-hmm. and we'd love you to tour that. So I said, you know, but I have this new reimagining of, and they're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Reimagining?
Yeah.
And this is psychedelic dribble.
Yeah.
It sounds like some, you know, crazy old man sitting with a Mellotron and a pack of Marlboros.
Yeah. No, they want you to do the other.
So where I'm going to do it, but I'm turning that stuff inside out. I mean, no, they're not even going to recognize what it's going to be the most fuzzed out, progified, psychified, bizarrified version.
I love it.
Of Monster Magnet in the 90s. It's going to be more on the Super Judge Twinner side of the sound.
That's awesome.
Nice.
And one way or another, I always manage to like pull something off, because in Europe, thankfully, there's people that are into the whole thing. They're like into music for music's sake and not.
But you got to do a show. You got to do a New York show.
We'll do it. We'll do it.
You got to. Because the last tour. You had vocal stuff, right? You had vocal. You were sick.
I got the flu. Yeah, I got the flu, and it went down. It was like, take him to the hospital kind of stuff, and it was bad. So I had to cancel the last week of the tour, which
Bowery Ballroom
included New York
I was
City.
Scared. I had already started pre-gaming for that a week in, or 2 weeks in advance.
I couldn't wait.
That was such a bummer, and it was a real bummer for me, because we'd already played all these places that not didn't matter, but, mm-hmm. you know, the great wasteland inside the.
Yeah, but now it's time for the people who are still holding on to that. You got to let them cash their chips, Dave.
Well, I learned my lesson. I think I'll start off in New York this time.
Yes, not Detroit. You started off in Detroit last time.
Yeah, but Detroit's really good for us. Detroit is.
Oh no, you go to Detroit. I'm fine with you going to Detroit.
End in New York, right? The last show.
They get it after we get it.
America's a weird place to tour now. It's a very strange place, quite different than it used to be.
Well, wait. You think it's weird now? Wait till you're out on the road with AP Mike and Dave Hill. you're gonna be like, yeah. I guess it. I wish I could go back to how weird it was in 2015.
No, it's okay. I mean, I actually like that idea.
Uh-huh.
We do, you know, start doing stuff. Right. I mean, it's really got to the point where it's, why don't the band set up on the floor and mm-hmm. have the audience be on the stage, because really that's a better allotment of space.
That would be,
you know, you know what I mean? It's just a protest against anything. Like we're flipping this thing on its ear here. Mm-hmm. The audience sits on stage and tables and the band sits up on the floor, and it's like, well, that makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dave, I love it. I can't wait to see you again. Are you, you're around? I want to, let's meet up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before you hit the road.
I'm here. I took the whole summer off. I went off the grid.
Mm-hmm.
No computers, no nothing. Read a ton of books and visited nuclear facilities, ancient nuclear facilities from the Cold War, mm-hmm. On a bicycle.
I tell you, you're pushing the boundaries.
That's
man.
The perfect summer
yeah,
right
it,
there.
It was nuts, but you know why? Because you'd think it's like, well, how long will that take? A couple of days?
Mm-hmm.
There were so many nukes around here, and my head got so strange from doing this. Like, mm-hmm. all right, I'm going to go to this place. It's Atlantic Highlands, mm-hmm. New Jersey, on top of a mountain. And it used to be like NORAD, you know, like total, you know, strategic air mm-hmm. air defense. And all the old hulks of the buildings are there in these big pits where nukes used to be. It was truly, truly bizarre.
Wow.
And then I bought an old Mellotron and kind of locked myself in a shed for a month.
Dave, I love it. I love that this is where you're at with the stuff. And I can't wait to hear you and the Mellotron and AP Mike. Dave Windorf plus Dave Hill times AP Mike plus Mellotron.
You have to be in there playing the Mellotron, dude, because you got to get, we have to pull off some, like side two of Fragile or something, you know. You got to take the Rick Wakeman.
Yeah.
You got to take Wakeman thing. The great thing about the Mellotron is that it doesn't shut up until it wants to shut up. And when it does want to shut up, it mm-hmm. goes completely off. So it's this giant, surging, wheezing beast, like approximating a string.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the sound of an electric teardrop. It's the saddest sound. And then the signal drops out, so it just cuts off. So anyone that tries to play it, pro or non-pro, always sounds like the same guy.
Yeah.
Really
it's
cool.
Awesome. Dave, thank you for calling in and giving everybody a treat. I always love talking to you, buddy. You know that.
Thank you too, man. And Dave Hill, it was a pleasure to meet you. I hope I see you again.
Likewise.
I'll put you guys in touch.
Yeah, please do. Please do, because I'm a big fan, Dave. I think you're really, really funny. And
thank you. That's an honor.
I really, truly enjoy people that speak softly.
Well, you just hit Easy Street then.
Well, you know why? Because I think it's important. The din is getting so loud that I tend to go for the softer voices because everyone else is making just too much loudness, myself included.
Oh,
Dave,
man.
I love you, buddy.
I love you too, bud.
I will talk to you soon.
Right, awesome. Thanks,
have a
Dave.
Good night.
Bye,
okay.
Dave.
All right, bye.
That was awesome. He's spending his time exactly as I would want or imagine what he's doing.
I could cry. Like, it almost seems like you could have written down on a piece of paper, like, what do you think Dave Windorf is doing? He'd be like, probably riding his bike to decommission nuclear facilities and then playing a Mellotron.
Oh, man, it's perfect.
No, he's
I don't even think I could have. He exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, he's the coolest. I love Dave Windorf. I knew you would.
Oh,
like
my
to
God. I was tongue-tied.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of his and Monster Magnet. I was even going to bring up Shrapnel.
Yeah. No, he's like the real deal. He has walked the walk his whole life.
Yeah.
Thanks again for listening to Best Show Bests. And I want to thank Martin DeGrell for supervising the episodes of Best Show Bests. And of course, much thanks to Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Martine Sellis, Brendan McDonald, AP Mike, of course, John Worster. Who else? Marcia Neumeier. And you, the Best Show listener. Thank you. And if you like this, check out the full show every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight at thebestshow.net and support the Best Show, patreon.com/thebestshow. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.